So, Wellbeing Wednesday, Gavin Sharp from Riviera Wellbeing is here. Hello again, Gavin.
Good morning.
Can I do anything to help? Anything at all?
You know? I think you've done quite enough, Rob.
Thank you very much. So we're doing a people-pleasing today. It's not something it's not an immediate subject that comes to mind for me, but maybe this, I don't try and please people.
You know, I think it's one of those topics that we sort of pay cursory attention to, but I think you're right. We don't really spend that much time thinking about it. And yet every time I do a talk about people-pleasing, some faces in the audience often get a little pale because there's this sense of, gosh, I think I'm a people-pleaser.
Because people actually do want to be liked. I mean, this is the thing, isn't it? And I'm just thinking about it now. And when I was younger, certainly I would make a big effort to please the kind of people I thought I wanted to like me. But the older I get, the less I care.
Absolutely. And I think there is a big difference between wanting to be liked, because we all want to be liked and we all want to be accepted. But when that starts to become a way of life, when my self-worth actually becomes dependent on making other people happy, or when I begin to put my needs second and perhaps I care more about your opinion than mine, then actually it's more than just wanting to be liked, it's craving the validation.
So what's the signs of being a people pleaser then, do you think?
Well, I think that the obvious signs are people pleaser typically will avoid conflict. They crave validation. There's this need that we've been talking about to be liked. Some people pleasers will agree with you even when they disagree. They'll take the blame for something when it's not really their fault. They're not great at accepting praise. I mean, I guess there are three ways. The author and psychologist Harriet Breaker, and she says actually there are three ways you can look at people pleasing. One is a mindset. I must make people like me. It's part of my identity. So I have these perfectionist standards and I expect myself to live up to these in order to be liked. And the second is the habitual, the behaviors. I must take care of other people's needs. So I take on too much and I'm not very good at saying no. And then the third aspect of people pleasing is I avoid uncomfortable feelings. I will do anything to avoid feeling angry, to avoid disappointing you, to avoid conflict.
Well, that's very true. I mean, I hate conflict, actually. I'll do almost anything to avoid it because it's not good for your blood pressure. But, you can get out of those situations without actually sort of bending over backwards to be nice to the person who's causing the problems.
Absolutely. None of us love conflict. All of us feel, to a point, uncomfortable. But as you rightly say, if, however, I am sacrificing my needs to appease you in order to avoid the conflict, that's not healthy behaviour.
How would you explain that to somebody then? I mean, how would you actually, you know, when somebody's really sort of giving you a hard time, you think this is just going to happen, a massive row, and you don't want it. I mean, what's a good strategy for getting out of it without upsetting them?
Well, I don't think it matters if we upset them. Because I think part of, you know, there's a difference between being assertive and being aggressive. And I have to accept, and this is what's difficult for people pleasers, that not everyone is going to like me, and I may disappoint some people. So if my asserting my needs, and I'm doing it from a healthy place, and it's in line with my values, I have to accept that you, Rob, you may not like that, you might be offended, but I'm not responsible for your feelings.
In the last hour, you set a little list of questions for people to have a think about, because we've got an answer for that. Would you like to sort of go through them again, and then I'll move on to our first question?
Absolutely. So I posed just five statements, and I asked your listeners to just reflect to the extent to which any of these resonate. So here were the five statements. First one was, the possibility of conflict terrifies me. The second, I regularly sacrifice my emotional happiness to make sure other people are happy. The third, I desperately want to be liked by others. The penultimate one, I overanalyze every decision and I'm forever concerned with how my decision will cause others to react. And finally, saying no fills me with a sense of dread.
Oh dear, says Susie, I scored five.
Well, then I think there's a chance. And look, I picked five statements and I could have put out 15 or 20. But if you really identify with them, yeah, then you may well be a people pleaser.
No secret that I'm a people pleaser, she says. My thoughts are that it stems from insecurity and a lack of self-worth. One can't feel worthy or lovable unless other people show their approval and love.
I think she's spot on. I think it's it does come from insecurity, a lack of self-worth. And I think people-pleasing is actually an attempt to manage anxiety. So we overcommit, we want the approval, and we do that because I don't want to feel anxious. And ultimately, I end up being controlled by this need to please other people, and it becomes quite addictive.
Is there anything wrong, though, with actually pleasing people?
No, I think it's wonderful to please people. You know, if someone says, are you available to drive me to the airport?
No.
There we are. Oh, come on, Rob. It's only on Friday and it's down the road.
I'm washing my hair.
Yeah. I can never use that excuse of washing my hair. And for those who don't know what I look like, I have very little hair. No, there's nothing wrong with people pleasing. And we like that. It makes me feel good. I make you feel happy, and that makes me feel happy. So long as, and this is the crux, it's congruent with what I want to do. Doesn't mean I can't occasionally compromise, and it doesn't mean I can't put myself out. But when I'm doing that on a daily or weekly basis, what's happened to the real me? What's happened to my real needs?
Does it worry you not having hair?
Well, when my toupee arrives in the post next week, you need to give me an honest opinion.
Surely you can do better than that. All sorts of wonderful treatments these days.
The answer is I haven't had hair for a long time, and I'm okay with it.
I think most people are okay with it, aren't they?
With my hair with losing hair?
Well, I think sort of the bald-headed look is sort of came in the early 90s and hasn't really gone away yet.
I think so. Yeah. I think so. Thank you, Agassi, because I think he was one of the first.
Who?
Agassi, the tennis player.
What about Telly Savalas? He had it in the 70s.
That's true. Now we're showing our age.
And Yul Brynner.
That's true.
Right, moving away from hair. Are we born people pleasers? Do you think is there a people pleaser gene? You know, is it something we're just brought up to do?
No, I don't think. I think it's learned. And so the good news is that we can unlearn. I think being assertive is learned. So typically, As one of the listeners said, it comes from insecurity, it comes from low self-esteem, and very often when we were young, we didn't learn to separate our needs from other people's needs. Or we learned, you know, I have a client and she had grew up, and for most of her childhood, she had a mother who just needed constant attention, and she became mum's carer. And thanks to her, she kept mum alive. But now as an adult, in her adult relationships, she only knows to put other people's needs first. And it's causing her anxiety because she's realizing in her marriage, her needs aren't being met. And we also sometimes, it's very common to see children of alcoholic parents who have just learned to be compliant, learn to avoid conflict, because they just want to do anything to avoid the alcoholic's anger. So my point is that no, there isn't a people-pleasing gene. Somewhere along the line, we've learnt this is how to survive life.
Gavin Sharp is with us from Riviera Wellbeing. People-pleasing, the disease to please, is the topic this morning. And I start off with a sort of fairly long one from somebody who wishes to remain anonymous. Says you can paraphrase the phrase, so that's okay. So we've given your sex away, but not your name. It's a lady. I'm a lifetime serial people pleaser, even at the ripe old age of 58. It's gotten me into some truly horrible situations over the years, not least a failed marriage. You would think that would have been the ultimate lesson, but apparently not. I am by nature a go-with-the-flow kind of person, a typical Libran. I hate conflicts, and the thing is, I really quite like being that way. What I don't like is when inevitably people take advantage of me. I find myself going out of my way to do things for good friends that absolutely aren't reciprocated. Gavin.
So I think this actually touches the essence of people-pleasing. What I think that listener wrote in and said is, I don't like it when people take advantage of me. And one of the sad consequences of people pleasing is that we get exploited, because other people can be, we've all got someone in our life that we know who just suck the energy out of us and will take advantage of us. And at the other end of the scale, lots of people find themselves in abusive relationships because someone is taking advantage of them. And we didn't see it coming because we just wanted to make that person happy. And we, I have a client who is kind of separating from her husband. He is quite narcissistic, and she has, her gut instinct is to people please. She is so fearful of disappointing people. And even in the separation, he emails her secretarial duties. Could you sort out this with the car? And can you sort this out with the, take the dog to the vet? Can, so all of this is still going on because even separated, she doesn't know how to not displease him. So I think the person who's writing, and I think the other part, because you showed me the email just during the break, is that she said sometimes it just explodes and she tries not to explode. And I think what happens when we don't get our needs met, as I said before, no one gets to see the real me. So what happens to my unmet needs? They don't just vanish into thin air. They go into my body, and slowly I become resentful. And that resentment becomes an anger and an explosion. So I have to learn along the way to not wait for the explosion, but to actually try to get my needs met on a daily basis.
That's interesting you should say that. So, you know, because I mean, quite often people will try and please their partners to keep them happy in a relationship. Mm-hmm. But when that partner, when that relationship becomes abusive, when one partner starts, you know, either through alcohol or substance abuse, or just generally just being a bully, then it must be extremely difficult to carry on being that pleasing person, and you are eventually going to snap, aren't you?
For some people, yes, they will snap. And other people don't. And other people will spend a life just being so scared. Again, I have another client, and it's interesting. I'm giving examples of women, but they're the ones who come to mind. And in her marriage, they divorced a few years ago, but in their marriage, she said her husband always had to be right. And she never questioned it. And I think, is it Eleanor Roosevelt, the quote that no one else has the right to make us feel inferior? And she spent her whole marriage feeling inferior, and to the point where the restaurants they would go to, the friends that they would mix with, but she was so used to saying yes and going with the flow. That's a phrase I hear a lot. I just like to go with the flow. But what happened to her true self? What happened to her values? They went, they died.
This lady also says, I have no idea where all this comes from or how it started. I'm the youngest of five, had the happiest childhood in a loving family. I don't ever remember competing for attention with my siblings or trying to please either of my parents to gain a particular advantage. And my now husband of 20 years is just the best. He's also a go-with-the-flow kind of person, and we have a wonderful life together. We respect each other, trust each other as equals, don't take each other for granted, no arguments, no conflicts, and definitely no taking advantage. That's a happy ending then.
Yeah, so in the marriage, it works. She's fortunate in a marriage which feels like it's based on equality. But as she said earlier on, but in so many other aspects of her life around her friendships, she isn't able to be assertive. And it's one of those things that probably with some thought and some journaling and maybe some therapy, I'm sure she'll identify where does the insecurity come from.
I think I'm going to be spending the rest of this program answering questions because they're still coming in. Tom says, I love my wife to the moon and back. The problem is so does everyone else. She spends her life doing things for everyone else and always wants to people please. Why does she feel the need to do that? Is she missing something in the relationship? How can I help her put her needs first?
Well, I guess helping her identify that what you and I were talking about before, we can't control other people's thoughts and feelings. And when other people give us that validation and they give us the approval, actually what they're approving is not the real us. What they're really approving is the behaviors that we're doing. So if I'm using my example before, I'm driving you to the airport, I'm cooking for you, I'm lending you money, I'm doing so much stuff because I want your approval. What you're approving is not me, Gavin. You're approving the things I do for you. And I think so to that Tom's wife, I think it's, how can I live a values-driven life where I'm acting from a place of integrity, from a place of trust, of curiosity? And it's recognizing that actually, what does being nice represent? Because for some people, the being nice is, it's to protect me. And we have to accept that it's, I don't need to be nice. And as I said before, not everyone will like me.
You're very insistent about this lift to the airport stuff, aren't you? I mean, you know, I'll do it for 80 euros, but...
70?
Yeah, okay, but I'll have to drop you on the main road. I'm not taking you to the terminal.
Cause... That's fine. Yeah. Will you carry the luggage or no?
I'm just thinking about a couple of friends I have who I've never, ever seen them lose their cool once. They will bend over backwards to help anybody. You know, do you think in private they're screaming and hitting the gin because they're being nice to everyone all the time but not getting what they want?
Well, it's possible, but for a while we don't actually know, because for a while people pleasing feels great because everybody seems to like us. And yet it's this point before that's bubbling under is this resentment of, if we really think about it, actually I resent it, or how come so-and-so never does anything for me? So at some point, I think we sort of live in blissful denial of, isn't it wonderful how popular I am? And then we just take a step back and we reflect and think, but wait a minute, it's always me that's doing this. And there's this sort of, I think we're all brought up with, it's always better to give than receive. And I think friendship's about both.
Right, one more question before the news from Sharon. I grew up in quite a dysfunctional household. My father drunk a lot and my mother lives in fear. I'm probably scared of fighting in my relationship today. I do my best to make everyone around me happy. I'm not sure I know how to be any other way. Isn't it good that I avoid fighting, that I make people happy all the time? How do I let go of the past? Do I need to?
Well, it's a huge answer and a huge question. I think if the past is having an impact on your present, then yes, we want to be able to understand and let go of whatever negative consequences are happening as a result of the past. And I think it's about recognizing that how can I be assertive, and how can I... I've forgotten the middle part. What was the middle part? What did she say?
I do my best to make everyone around me happy. I'm not sure I know how to be any other way. Isn't it good that I avoid fighting, that I make people happy all the time? How do I let go of the past? Do I need to?
So the isn't it good that I avoid conflict? That's the part that sort of stands out for me, because the answer is we cannot go through life in any of our relationships and always avoid conflict. So I need to be prepared for conflict. I need to be prepared to disappoint people, and for people to be disappointed in me, full stop.
That just brings us back to something we discussed a bit earlier. Give us some practical tips on the art of saying no then.
So I think it's, and this, you know, perhaps this is a whole show, but we need to look at our life and we need to think, okay, what errors have I overcommitted? And I think there are things that we can do to help us say no. So, for example, someone comes and asks us, are you able to do something for me? We can be direct and we can turn them down. We can stall for time and we can say, because sometimes we're under pressure. We just think, I must people please. And sometimes I can say, well, actually, let me check my calendar. I'll come back to you. Sometimes I was talking about the author before, I was talking about Harriet Breaker, and she talks about the sandwich approach, that to practice saying no, do something positive, say something positive, have something negative in the middle, and finish with something positive. So you say to someone who asks you for dinner and you don't want to go, you start with your positive and you say, well, that's a lovely invitation, thank you. I won't be able to come to dinner. That's your negative. But it really means a lot that you asked me. Because for people pleasing, they need to start and feel that there's that element of managing expectations. But in the middle of the sandwich was the, I won't be coming to dinner.
What about depends what's for dinner, really?
It does, yeah.
So fish, no, I don't like fish, sorry, I can't come.
And what about the airport, Rob? Any second thoughts?
Not yet.
Okay, we'll keep it open.
Evan Sharp is here from Riviera Wellbeing and rivierawellbeing.com. There will be a podcast of the show afterwards and also on our website, rivieraradio.mc. So was that you flying over Ramatuelle annoying all the residents the other day in your helicopter, was it?
Sadly, I went by vehicle.
Really?
Yeah.
You should try the helicopter. It's only 15 minutes.
And will you lend me the money to go?
Dear Gavin, I have a problem pronouncing tennis players' names. Do I need help?
We hadn't noticed, Rob. Oh, it was masterfully done.
They make it sound so easy on other stations. I'm jealous. But when you get one sort of complicated name, you can just about get around it. When they're playing each other, it's almost impossible.
I don't envy you.
Okay, back to the people-pleasing questions. First of all, from Milosh, I think I am a people pleaser, as many have said that to me. I do enjoy it and it makes me happy. So do I need to stop?
Well, I think if it makes you happy and there aren't any negative consequences, then no. If, as we said earlier on, it is habitual or you are altering your behaviour to suit other people, or if the things that you're doing for other people actually are stemmed on the fear that you won't be liked, then underneath, I would look at what is that about? And very often, as I said earlier on, that people pleasing on some level is a way to manage anxiety. So I have to make a confession because I think I know the person who's just written in. So I don't want to say too much. But I suspect that it's that Milosh probably does have very manageable anxiety. But if he reflects further on it, is that anxiety connected to the people pleasing? He's not a client because I don't name clients on air.
Just wondering, you know, is this people pleasing something to do with your self-esteem? I mean, if people don't feel comfortable on their own, if you're not good at spending time with yourself, then quite often they need company, so they need to please people more.
Absolutely. As I think one of the listeners wrote in earlier, it's connected to self-esteem. And one of the things that the Canadian author Brené Brown talks about is being able to tolerate discomfort. That if I assert my needs and other people don't approve, I am going to feel uncomfortable. But why do I always have to make the assumption that my time is less important than your time? And I think someone just texted me the quote. I got half the quote, the Eleanor Roosevelt quote, right, and I left out the other part. No one can make you feel inferior without your permission.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've heard that.
I can't take
before.
Credit for it because it was hers, but.
Really? Well, you can try if you want. Did she find someone to take her to the airport? The Secret Service. Susan would like to know, or asks, I find it difficult to assert myself around expressing my political views. I found the whole Brexit thing overwhelming. Oh, no, let's not go there. And lived in fear that other people would judge me. In the end, I told my Brexit friends that I voted leave and my Remain friends that I voted remain. It just felt easy. Would this count as people-pleasing? Goodness me. Now, no wonder we Brits prefer to talk about the weather, she says. Oh, now you're in a sticky wicket there.
Gosh.
God, dear.
So, yes, leaving the Brexit part of it, that's a fascinating admission. So what I would say to that person who's written in is that's probably based on negative assumptions because people-pleasers walk around with thoughts which I would actually classify as negative assumptions. And we assume, therefore, that other people are judging or criticizing us. So in that case, what goes through that person's mind when you have to speak your mind about your political views? And probably there is an inner voice that says they might be angry, they may hate me, I'm a terrible person, they'll think I'm difficult. What's wrong with me? So that's a classic example of I am going to alter my behavior and my thoughts to mold someone else's in order to win their approval.
It's all changed, hasn't it? Because when I was growing up, we were always taught it was impolite to question somebody else about their politics. You just didn't really talk about it, whichever way they voted. But it's all out in the open now, isn't it?
Well, I think that's a good point. Where does it come from? And if we were told that it's, you know, you need to be a good boy and do as you're told, then the idea for all of us that it's inherent that, can I challenge? Can I say... When friends say, do you want to go to this restaurant? And do I just go with the flow, picking up on the phrase earlier? Or do I say, no, I'd prefer to go somewhere else, or I'd prefer to watch a different movie? I have a client, and she gave me permission to use this example, but we were talking last week about she went to a restaurant, and there was someone in the table behind, and their chair was pressing up against hers. So she shuffled her chair and her table to have a bit more room. And then she noticed that the person behind was like, well, that's great, I've got more room now. So he pushes his chair even further back, so it's back against hers. And she said, what I really wanted to do was just, not angrily, but turn around and say, I hope you don't mind, I've moved my chair and table, and actually now you've moved yours again, and I don't have any room. And instead, she said nothing. And then she was disappointed in herself, because she knows instinctively she's a people pleaser and she doesn't like conflict.
She could have gone to a restaurant which had more space.
She could have done. And they probably weren't socially distancing, yeah. Which, you know,
ooh, yeah, didn't yeah. Think
ethically
about
I need to report the restaurant. But
yeah. Just going back to the politics thing, I mean, without dragging Brexit into it, but I mean, you know, he votes Conservative and she's a Labour supporter, but they've been married for 30 years. They don't discuss politics and they're very, very happy. But the Brexit thing is just, it's ripped entire families apart. It's all out in the open, you know. Parents aren't speaking to children or vice versa. You know, it's really, really incredible.
It is. And I think now we get to the point about, you know, can I be assertive? Can we as a family have a discussion and have some boundaries? Or, you know, and sometimes, yes, of course, it's more appropriate to say, do you know what, I'm not going to hammer my point home. But I am going to assert myself. And I found a quote. There's a Holocaust survivor. I was doing some research for this. And Edith Eger, who is a psychotherapist and a Holocaust survivor. And I love what she said about being assertive. And she said, to be passive is to let others decide for you. To be aggressive is to decide for others. But to be assertive is to decide for yourself. And I think it's, how can I be assertive without being aggressive, but how can I allow myself to express my values and tolerate the discomfort?
You're listening to the Full English Breakfast Show, a Wellbeing Wednesday with Gavin Sharp from Riviera Wellbeing. Another question from Helen. Gavin, are women better people pleasers? I have a lot of girlfriends that I think could be. What do you think?
I think women are, there are more people pleasers that are women than men. And I think that is partly because the societal messages that women get. We were just talking before the break about, you know, be a good boy. How many women were told when they were younger to be sweet, to be good girls? Women make natural empaths and I think sometimes end up unintentionally and unconsciously becoming people pleasers.
They do talk a lot more than men, don't they? I mean, I don't mean that in a derogatory fashion.
Sarah.
I mean, she's not here.
Sarah, help.
No, but I mean, they do talk things out rather than men just, get me another beer and leave me alone.
And I think, therefore, yes. So I think they are very often better empaths. However, when that becomes again, we don't like female politicians a lot. I'm talking about the media. And when women are assertive, they get given these labels of being aggressive. And so I think that women, unfortunately, become people pleasers very naturally.
And SB says, I've become a regular listener of the Wellbeing Window. Glad to have you along. I've been accused of being overgenerous with my friends and making them feel uncomfortable. I give large tips in restaurants and to the valets who park the car. But this is who I am. I would feel mortified if I did not leave a generous tip, for example. Gavin seems to think this is people-pleasing and not healthy behaviour. Why should I feel bad with myself when I can avoid that by leaving a nice tip?
Well, again, you don't have to feel bad if you're comfortable leaving a nice tip. But I think when you constantly give to others, what you risk doing is you don't actually allow them to give something back. So it doesn't become reciprocal. And again, tipping is very personal. There's nothing wrong with giving big tips. But if there is a pattern in your life about, I like it when people treat me nicely, so I give a big tip because I'm scared if I don't give a big tip, they might judge me, then we're sort of possibly in the realm of people pleasing. But of course, I don't want to over egg it. If you're happy and you're doing it, you know, like all these things, if it's not causing you problems, there's no need to change it.
Right, conclusions for this week, people pleasing, Gavin.
Conclusions. I hope what people take away from this is that none of us are responsible for anybody else's feelings. I'm responsible for my intent. And my time is as important as anyone else's. And as Greg McKeown, the business author, writes, if you don't prioritize your life, someone else will. So it isn't selfish to put our needs first and be considerate of others.
Okay, we do have time just for one more question. It's just come in. Sam says, I work in Yossing. I have to people please to get promoted. Saying no, it's not an option. What's the alternative? Is there an alternative? If you have a goal, example, move on with your career, is that people pleasing? That's service, isn't it? That's not people pleasing.
Well, again, I think if yachting, it depends. Am I working on the yacht having to make up people's beds? And in which case I can't say, well, I'm not going to make the beds today because that's people pleasing. But we can be more assertive at work. You know, assertion is about how we communicate. And my good friend and local resident, Alicia Sedgwick, you know, check out her website because she talks a lot about healthy communication. And that's what being assertive is about. And sometimes we have to say, even in the work context, I don't have time to do this. Or sometimes it's just asking questions rather than just saying, yes, when do you need this by? Or asking our boss to reprioritize our workload. I would like to help you do this, but I'm also doing this.
Thank you, Sam. Would you mind licking the deck clean with your tongue now? Otherwise, Gavin will make you walk the plank.
Well, the good news from the show is I now have a driver who's going to take me to the airport. So, Rob, I am so grateful for that.
Not so. Have you downloaded your boarding pass?
I've got my health pass.
Have you got a negative PCR?
I do.
Right.
I do. So we're okay. Can I just say, if you are interested and you've listened to the show, I am doing a workshop on September the 18th. I'm going to put it up on my website later today. But I'm actually doing a workshop on this exact topic, overcoming people pleasing and establishing boundaries.
Excellent. This program will be available as a podcast later on Gavin's website, rivierawellbeing.com, or as part of the Full English Breakfast Show podcast on our website, rivieraradio.mc. I'll tell you what, I'll call you a cab.
All right, that's a compromise.
Talk to you next time. Thanks,
Gavin.
Thank
you so much, and thanks to all your listeners.